thankful for each one of you that have come out to be in the service this morning. And we feel a great dependency on the Lord. And we desire that you pray that the Lord will bless his word. I know it's very difficult to recall messages that has been preached just a few weeks ago. And we really don't expect a memory like that, but we would like to have just a little review of some of the thoughts that we've had to bring us up to the message today. We had a couple of messages that were on the thought of in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and it is full of mixture. And in the last of those two messages, we spoke about the people of God, that they will be a tried and tested and proven people. I would say that most, if not all, of the events of our lives is for that purpose. If we are child of God, he is very interested in helping you and me make heaven. Yes. And so he allows those things in our life that will test us, try us, and ultimately prove what is in our heart. The trying of our faith is most important. For the Lord said in his word, when I return, will I find faith? We understand that the scripture just simply says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'd be able to say unto this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. And that seems like a huge amount of faith. But it said if you just had that much faith. So our faith is going to be tried. I feel that sometimes our trials, our tests, are to also reveal how resolved we are to go all of the way. Am I going to be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier? Am I going to be willing to endure to the end? Proving is a great process. And some of our messages, we spoke about how that he proved the children of Israel, how he humbled them. But what he is proving not only to myself, but to him, is what is in my heart. The scripture says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the heart does not seem to be desperately wicked for one that is a child of God. And yet, because the scriptures tell us that every man's ways are right in his own eyes, and that it's oftentimes very difficult for me to see what the Lord is trying to get me to see about myself. And so he allows these things, and then I'm able to see. He's able to speak to my heart. So it's proving those things that are in our heart. And it's proving whether I will endure, and it's proving if at some point we will say, I cannot take it anymore, I will turn back. There is a scripture in James 1 and 2 through 4. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This word divers simply means several or various. So we could read it and say, count it joy when you fall into various trials, various temptations. It's very difficult sometimes to count it joy in the midst of a trial.
Yes, it is.
But if we can believe that God is working his purpose, it's easier, it's better, it's you can take it with joy. And the rest of that scripture says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing or lacking no grace, that all of the graces are available to you and me in whatever test we're going through, in whatever trial, but yet it's going to take this patience. Patience is part of our proving. It's part of the enduring to the end. It's allowing those testings to always work for our good because the word of the Lord says it. Do we believe it? The scripture speaks about you and me pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Patience is one of those places that we have to press. It's a high standard. People often will say, well, I need more patience, but if I pray for more patience, it will only bring me trials. We really should not be afraid. If we recognize a failure in our patience, and God wants to temper our patience, it's a good thing. And he will do it in such a way that will produce that wonderful result in your life. You won't have those places that you'll have to go back and repent and say, I'm sorry I wasn't so patient. But the Lord wants to temper and perfect. He said, let patience have her perfect work, that you and I will be perfect, not wanting anything, not wanting any of the graces, not having to go back and make the corrections. But patience is a wonderful thing that the Lord wants to give you and me. And I have a little definition for patience. Patience itself takes endurance, perseverance, forbearing, and tolerance. And one definition said, without complaining. Now that's a challenge to me. But patience is something that you and I need in our walk with the Lord. And we mentioned in one of the messages that one of the hardest places of being tried is in our faith. And it's mainly when we can't feel the presence of the Lord. We mentioned Job as an example. Job came to a place he felt very alone, and he did not feel the Lord on any side of him. But oh, to have the resolve that Job had, and he said, but thou knowest the way that I take. Whether I feel you or whether I hear your voice, I'm still going to take the way of the Lord. You and I might say, I am going to take the way of the cross. Jesus said it a number of times, take up your cross daily and follow me. And so we can say, I will take the way of the cross, even though I don't feel his presence, I don't hear his voice. And sometimes we may even say, I don't even know what his will is for my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't even know where I'm supposed to be. It is in those times that the trial of your faith is doing something that you can't see at the moment. We read a scripture in 2 Chronicles 32 and 31. A part of that verse says, and God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. So this is common. This is common to the saint of God, to the child of God. This is going to be in your path. There will be times that you're going to feel alone and you're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. And I've had a number of experiences down through my life, and I'm sure that most of you could say the same thing. But there are times that the Lord wants to just show himself, reveal himself right in the midst of your desert, because it feels like a desert. It feels like you're dry, feels empty. Well, we don't throw in the towel when we feel empty, when we don't feel like we even know what to do. We don't throw in the towel. I remember one time many years ago, I was in one of those places, and I just was seemingly at my wit's end. I was down praying. And let me say this, when you're in those places, prayer is the key. Don't give up on praying just because you don't feel anything. It's part of the testing of your faith. But this particular time, I was in a desperate need before the Lord. And I've never had an experience like it before or since, but the Lord allowed it. I felt the hand of the Lord in the middle of my back while I was on my knees. What a comfort and encouragement it is when you feel the Lord is hearing your cries, and then he gives that little witness. I've heard your prayer. And yet, he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight or feeling. Don't depend on your feelings. Depend on faith. Faith in God. And the Lord says in many places, he said, have faith in God. He says also, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we come down now to our thought for the message this morning is found in Malachi 3 and 10. And we're taking just a portion of that verse. And it says, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. Just want to bring that portion to our minds and impress it upon us now, because the Lord, he desires for you and me to be tested and tried and proven. But he turns around and then he says, I want you to prove me. You can test me. You can try me. Did you ever think that God would allow us to test him and try him and prove what he can do? Some of the words that I have said over the years, the things that we feel for the next generation, for the young people, we have said different times, Lord, prove yourself to the next generation. We know what he has done for our generation. We have heard what he has done for our grandparents' generation. And we know what he can do for whatever generation comes. He is able to help us when we are tested and tried. But he wants us to prove him. This word proving, it means to test by experiment. Or it means to learn by experience. Have you ever experienced the goodness of the Lord? The Lord said in one place, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted of him? Have you been able to try him and prove him? Has he helped you in ways that nobody else could help? Absolutely. That's why we say, "Lord, work where no man can work." The song says, "Other friends may bless and comfort, speak a kind and cheering word, but the balm to heal the heartache, who can afford it? Only Jesus can afford." So we've proven the Lord, how that he is able to lift us up, set our feet upon a highway, allow us to be able to run and not be weary, walk and not faint. He's kept every one of us in places that without his help we would have fallen. And yet we had a scripture that says a just man will fall 7 times. Have you ever fallen? Have you ever felt like you fainted? Well, there's times that we may feel like we faint, but we can prove him. When the scripture says, speaks about being cast down, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." That's where our hope is. That's where our help is. When we allow our faith to believe in God's promises, that they are true, they are yea and amen, and they will not fail. They're eternally set, and they will stand even in eternity. The promises of God is able to hold you up. Oh, thank the Lord. I've proven some of the promises of God. Have you proven some of his promises? Oh, he wants to prove himself to his children. Now this, over in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 17, it speaks about faith, and it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So faith comes through the word of God. If you want great faith, don't look for it in a novel. Don't look for it in a magazine. Don't look for it from any other source. You have to get it from the Word of God. But the Word of God is full of faith. And it will help you to have faith. It will build your faith. It will strengthen your faith. Lord, help us. It says it comes by hearing. Hearing what is told or what is read. Oh, when we come to prayer meeting, what a blessing the testimonies are. That should strengthen and encourage our faith. When we hear what God has done for you, what he has done for me, and we tell it, that is for the purpose of encouraging our brothers and our sisters with faith. Thank the Lord. Then we look at verse 16 of the same chapter. And the question is said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Then we're going backwards in this chapter a little bit, and we go to verse 14. It says, "How shall they believe, or how shall they have faith in him of whom they have not heard?" How can we have faith in God if we haven't heard what God can do? But the word of the Lord tells us what he can do, tells us of his power, his great power. Then we go to verse 18. And it says, but I say, have they not heard? And the answer is yes. Verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. What is he talking about? Well, I believe it is all that God did down through the Old Testament from the beginning of time. It was recorded. It was, you and I are so blessed to have the Word of God. They didn't all have the Word of God. They would have to go to the temple for it to be read to them. They were in scrolls. They didn't have a wonderful book like you and I have. And we can all have as many books, as Bibles as we want. So we're a blessed people. We're not afraid that we're going to be arrested because we have the Word of God. Oh, count our blessings. We're in a free country still. We praise the Lord for His rich Word, and it has gone out. The reports have gone out. You and I have heard it all of our life. We know what the Word says. We started hearing it when we were just in the little primary class. We started hearing the great things of God and what He would do for His people and how He would deliver them. And in some small way, that would begin to increase our faith as a little child. Thank the Lord. But we kept on hearing it. And we keep on hearing it even now. Thank the Lord. So we've all heard these reports. Verse 18. But I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into the whole earth, and their words into the ends of the world. So the whole world at some point has heard of God and the power of God. He is the creator of all of this world that you and I visibly see, and even beyond. Oh, we as this generation, we have something that other generations didn't have. We have a telescope that is able to go out into the universe and send pictures back that we couldn't believe would possibly be. And what that should do is inspire our faith in a mighty God, our faith in a great God who through just His spoken word spoke it into existence. Oh, He is a mighty God. I want your faith to be strengthened in the mighty God today. Thank the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. It says, and the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew Himself strong, to prove Himself to those in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Don't you want a perfect faith this morning? Don't you want a perfect heart toward God, where the doubts don't come in and destroy your faith or hinder your faith? Oh, let patience have the perfect work, that ye can be perfect, not wanting anything, not wanting any of the graces. The grace of God, don't frustrate. The scripture says, we frustrate not the grace of God. So the Lord is trying to show Himself strong to everyone whose hearts are turned toward Him, whose hearts are perfect toward Him, who believes it, whether it's logical or not. We have many scientists that try to discount some of the miracles of the Old Testament. For instance, the crossing of the Red Sea on dry land. They've got some kind of a logical reasoning how that happened. They cannot take just the word of the Lord that that Moses raised his rod, and that there was a wind, and that they walked over on dry ground. It's just beyond their comprehension. But I want to tell you, if you and I will believe the word, whether it's logical or not, I just simply say, I believe it. I trust in it. It is not a lie. We serve a mighty God. Thank the Lord. So you and I have all heard the great reports, and the sounds have been in our ears, and the words have inspired our faith to this time. Thank the Lord. For this generation, you can prove God. You can test him, and you can try him. So God has proved himself to all generations. I'd like for us to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I want us to look at the first verse. Very familiar verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It seems like such an obscure definition for faith. But there is a reference in my Bible. I want to give it, and to me it opened it up a little bit more clearly. It said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the proving of things not seen. So we can prove those things that we haven't seen the end of it. We know that there were people that were very skeptical when Noah was building the ark, and it had never rained. They had never seen it with their physical eyes. And yet he preached for 120 years. He warned the people. The scripture tells us not one convert was the result of his 120 years of preaching, because it saved only him and his family. And yet those that saw it coming, they believed, but it was too late. So we have these reports, and God has proved himself to all generations. And now he is saying, have faith in God and faith in the assurance of the things hoped for, the proving of the things not seen. We want to look at some examples here in the 11th chapter. And we have referred to Noah already. God warned Noah, and he had never himself experienced a rain. The earth was not watered by that source. It was like a greenhouse. There was a dew that watered the earth. So for God to reveal to Noah what was going to happen, would you have believed it? The fact that you had never seen it, would you have believed that this deluge was going to come over all of the face of the earth, that all creation was going to be destroyed, that you had the opportunity to save you and your family? Would you have believed it? Noah believed it. He acted on it. His faith took in what he had never seen before. So we want to ask this question. What was the outcome? Well, we know the outcome. It's one of those reports that has gone out in our ears that we have read. We've heard it. The outcome is it happened. That the deluge came. The flood came. The people were destroyed. And he and his family were saved. That's the outcome. Does that increase your faith that God is true? The scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. Well, as we look in this chapter, and we won't have time to go over all of them, but in verses 8 and 9 and 17 through 19, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. The record is that Abraham was 75 years old when he was called to leave and to go follow the directions of the Lord, to go to another country. He was 75. And he said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. And then skip down to verse 17. By faith, when he was tried, Abraham was tried. His faith was tried. I said he was 75 when he left here. God brought him a covenant three different times. The covenant was that he would have an heir. And he was told to look at the stars and the sand of the sea. And he said his descendants would be numbered like that. And Abraham questioned one time. He thought he would possibly adopt one of his slaves. He didn't see it happening. He didn't see the result. Even his wife got involved and it caused them heartache and trouble. But I want to tell you, eventually Abraham held to the promise. Do you know how long he had to hold to the promise before it happened? 25 years. Has the Lord ever revealed to you something he wants to do for you and it hasn't happened yet? Are you going to take it into your own hands? You're going to make it work however you think it should work? You'll be hindering faith. You'll be hindering the process of the Lord. But eventually, the promises of God came true. And he was granted this son, an heir. So then we come down to verse 17 and it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, here's his promised son. And he says, now I want you to offer him up as a supreme sacrifice. Abraham did not waver. Oh, we can't really know everything that was in his heart and mind. But God knew what was in his heart. We know the outcome. What was the outcome? He got his son, but he obeyed God. God intervened at the right moment. Oh, I want to tell you, let our faith be strengthened that God will not give you more than you're able to bear, but he will with the temptation. He will make a way of escape. Keep these scriptures in your heart and in your mind and believe them. When things get hard and it seems like I can't take much more, go to your knees. Hold the word of God before God. Say it to him, Lord, you promised you'd not give me more than I can bear. You said you would make a way for me to escape. Look for the escape. He will make a way. What will be the outcome? We see the outcome. We look at at Moses' life. You know the whole account of Moses. What was the outcome? Look at Daniel. What was the outcome? Did it turn out right? Victory. Let's look at the three Hebrew children. Was it failure? What was the outcome? This is the sound that has gone out through the whole world. This is the report. And the question is, do you believe the reports? Yes, we believe the reports. Oh, we could name Bible character after Bible character. And we could ask the same question. What was the outcome? I believe we have instances in this life, modern times. We've experienced it. What would be the outcome of faith? It's the same. I want to tell some stories this morning. I read them in Sunday school this morning, and I was very impressed. There was this family. This a true story. It happened in 1931, and the father came from an overseas country, and he didn't have any money, and only his salvation, you might say. But he was a minister, and he now had a family. And they were in a blizzard that it actually snowed to the top of the roof on the second story. So they were closed in. And their food and their fuel supply were exhausted. But he was calm. Oh, calm assurance that God is going to hear your cries, hear your prayers, that he's going to answer. Have faith in God. So here they didn't even have anything for their breakfast. And they have their normal worship. And they're praying, and he's telling the Lord. And about that time, they hear something outside the wall of the snow. And then someone's trying to knock on the door. And, oh, it's such a wonderful story. I had to cry when I read it. This can be today. Yes. Now, you and I, we have our pantries full. We're not going to be tested of hunger and cold. But God wants to test and prove us in other ways. You can't escape being tested and tried and proven. It'll be in some way. So, as it turned out, their door was frozen shut. And the man on the other side told him. He started pushing, and the other man started pulling, and finally broke it open. And it was a farmer. And he had heard this man preach 3 years before. That's his only contact with this man. He said that God woke him up at 4 o'clock that morning and put this man on his heart. And the next thing is, he's bringing in all the food and the wood, the fuel. I've got chills going over my body. This is the power of God to prove himself to this generation. Let him prove himself to you in some way, his greatness. Well, it reminded me then of another story that I read in the book that of Brother Green. He's the he was a missionary to the Northwest Territory, and of course this was years ago, and he was an evangelist there, and he had to be out ministering, and his wife and his children, he thought he had left enough supplies for them until he could get back. Well, they ran out of food. And the lady, one of the sisters in that little congregation, she never told, his wife never told anybody that they were out of food. Only God. And so this one sister, she said, well, I'm coming to have lunch with you today. And there was no food. Well, as they visited throughout the morning, this sister would slip into the bedroom and she would, I don't know if I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it several times. It's so good. She slipped into the bedroom and she'd tell the Lord, Lord, you know we do not have any food. She'd go back and visit and then she'd do that again. It came 12 o'clock. She went in and set the table. She put the plates out on the table. Would you say God looked at that as faith? What is the end result? What was the outcome? Did God fail her? The end of the rest of the story. A knock came at the door. And a little girl had a big basket of food that her mama had sent. A baked chicken. All that went with it. And the other lady never knew she didn't have any food. And before that meal was over, another knock came and there was groceries to last until her husband got home. Oh, God is so great. He can hear your cries. You're not going to probably be having to pray for food. But God's going to put something in your life that you're going to have to trust Him for. And He's worthy of your trust. He's able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think. It's the Word of God. Well, another story that was in that book. Oh, I love this story. I've told it. I'm going to tell it again and again. Partly because the Salees had a fire close to their house. And it was threatening. And we got the call and we went to prayer. And the Lord brought this story to my mind that's true also and in the same book. And the father again was away and the mother and the children, they lived on the prairie and the grasses, you know how the prairie grasses were very tall and a prairie fire started and was headed their way. The wind was coming from that direction. And the mother, she took her children and tried to put them in a safe place. They had a cow. They didn't have a lot of substance, just a little house. She positioned herself at her front door. And she began to cry out to God. And she had her eyes closed. And she prayed so loudly that her children could hear it. It comforted her children. But soon the flames were coming directly to the house. And the roar of the flames drowned out her prayer. But she didn't quit praying. And she never opened her eyes. What was the end result? Did God fail? What happened? That fire went around their whole property and saved everything. That's our God. You may not face the fire. You may not face the lion's den. You may not face all of these other things. But God's going to test you. We can't make it to heaven without it. We are going to be a tested and a tried people. But He turns to you today and He'll say, prove me. See what I will do. Oh, I want to tell you, He's great. He's mighty. Let your faith be strengthened today in the words that you hear, in the reports. Do you believe the reports? Oh, there's more stories that could be told than what has been told. Have patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you will be perfect, that you will be entire, that you won't be in need of any of the graces of God, that the power of God will be keeping you until he comes and delivers you, until he brings the answer. You may have to wait on the answer. Be patient. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. There is a song that has sustained me a number of times. I have a testimony. And it's to be a report that goes out to the ends of the world, that goes out to strengthen our faith. A number of years ago, I took very sick, suddenly. And I did say to the Lord, "Lord, why didn't you prepare me for this?" And he said, "I did. I gave you a song." And it was a week before I took sick that the Lord put this song in my heart, and I didn't even really know where it was. I later found it. And I said, during my sickness, I sang this song 1,000 times. And Lauren would say, "Don't exaggerate." But I even sang it in my sleep, in my dreams. And the song, the chorus, is what's so special. It says, "Just trust him and be true, and see what he will do. He'll never disappoint your soul. When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. Just keep your eye upon the goal." I had to wait for the answer. But that song sustained me. And I'm giving it to you today. God will not disappoint your soul. He cannot. If you have a pure heart, if you're perfect in your heart toward him, the eyes of the Lord are going throughout the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts perfect toward him. I was sick a long time. But I want to tell you, the Lord, what's the end result? What was the end of the story? Did he fail? You see me here today. I didn't die. That's the end of the story. Oh, I want to tell you, God wants to give you an end to your story. He wants you to be able to say, "This is the end result of faith in God." Oh, he wants to prove himself to you. And so he says in Malachi, "Prove me now." And actually, the rest of it is, "See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." Now, I'm telling you, there's some things we need to do. That's not the message this morning, but he is saying, "I want you to see how I will bless you if you'll bless me." Thank the Lord. Pray for me.